Sota. Okay, chevra, ladies. We are learning Sota Daf Lamed Tesamen Aleph. And Sota Daf Lamed Tesamen Aleph, if you remember, the Gemara said that the students asked Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua, Bameha Rachta Yamim, what did you do to merit a long life? And he gave three things. He says, Miyamailo Asisi Beis HaKnesses Kapandaria. He never made a shortcut. We explained that. The idea is that although technically the Isser to make a shortcut is only in Har Habayis, not in the Shul, but he treated all Shuls like a Mikdash Ma'at, and he wouldn't make a shortcut through them. We also explained that because he didn't make shortcuts, therefore Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him a long life. You don't cut it short. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives it to you in the way that's long. Lo Pasati, Rashi Am Kodesh. He showed up before the Talmidim, so he didn't have to stand on top of the Talmidim. Velo nasasi kapi below bracha, and he never duchened without reciting a bracha. And last time he gave a number of explanations about what's the chiddush that he never duchened without a bracha. And we had a number of suggestions, including the idea that perhaps bizman haGemara there was no bracha necessary for duchening. Maybe the bracha on duchening somehow was like a later enactment, and we spoke about why that would be true. Hold this, inhale on it. We'll come back to this idea, hopefully, by as the shiur progresses. Okay, chevra? Zakti Gemara, mai mevarech. What's the bracha? Amar Reb Zeira, Amar Reb Chista, Asher Kedshanu, B'Kdushaso, Shal Aharon, V'Tzivanu, Levarech Es Amo Yisrael, the Ahava. Okay, ladies, what's the problem with this bracha? What's the problem with it? What question should we ask? Like the Nusach HaBracha we're familiar with. Hashem Shamik Tushaso Sha'aron, B'tzivon Varech Samo Yisrael B'Ahava. What's the problem? So there's one word that's a problem. B'Tushaso Sha'aron isn't a problem, no? When a Kohen would do mitzvahs that are Kohen type mitzvahs. The Kohen would say, Asher Kitchan mitzvah sav, Asher Kitchan b'kdushasu sha'aron v'tzivanu le'echol truma. No? It's such a bracha. B'zman hazeh, for whatever the reason, Kohanim don't eat truma. But when they ate truma, that's the bracha they'd make. When they ate kodshim, v'tzivanu le'echol chatos, v'tzivanu le'echol, right? They'd make the bracha. That's what they say in the bracha, in Kohanim brachas. But that word, ba'ahava, is a strange word, no? What about love? Where does love come in? So, obviously it shows that love is an important component of Birchas Kohanim, so much so that the Achronim quote from the Zohar, that if a Kohen hates the Tzibur, or the Tzibor hates that particular Kohen, it's dangerous to have that Kohen go up and duchen. It's dangerous. So that's already an interesting comment. But still, where does Ahava come in? So the humorous explanation that I heard years ago from Dr. Lamb, okay, we have to go back in history. There was a place called Yeshiva University that was a physical structure that people used to study in before Yeshiva University became this online Zach. And then we had a president of Yeshiva University at that time whose name was Dr. Norman Lamb. And Dr. Lamb used to have lunches with us in the Kollel. And on one of the lunches, he like raised this question of, where does Ba'ahava come in? And he said something, I used to think it was serious, actually. Then I realized he was like totally pulling my leg. He's like, and you never heard him, but I'm going to imitate his voice. Anyway, and one of the great Italian Ga'inim said that the Pasuk writes, Kol tevarchu es b'nei Yisrael amor lahem. Amor, A-M-O-R-E. That is the source of Ahava. And like, I thought he was serious. Like, whoa, that's like really cool. Right? So no, that's not the pshat. That's not the pshat. So where does Bi'ahava come in? Any suggestions, Chevra? Should I tell you? I mean, I'll tell you what the Be'er Sheva writes. Be'er Sheva over here asks, I'm assuming that the Chevra didn't really have a chance to do the Makoros that I sent out today. And I don't even remember if I sent this Be'er Sheva on the Makoros or not. But the Be'er Sheva writes, where does it say Be'ahava? So he says, well, since the Torah writes, Amar Lahem, Malay, almost sounds like Dr. Lamb, and the Medrash Tanchuma writes, it says, Amar Malay, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells the Kohanim, you should not give a bracha because I'm telling you to give a bracha, and therefore don't give the bracha rushing, and don't give the bracha like you're being forced. Rather, you should give the bracha b'kavonas halev, kidei shetishlot ha-bracha behem, v'haynu ba'ahava kelomar b'chol lev. In other words, the idea of the bracha is that the bracha should be chal. And every bracha works as much as there is kavana for that bracha. So the Rabbona Shel Olam, according to this Medrash, is saying, you know what? The Medrash is saying, make sure you have kavana. And in order to have kavana, that you're giving the bracha, it can't be that I'm doing it because I have to do it. It has to be that I'm giving this bracha because I want to do it. Because I want you to benefit. And that's why be'ahava, that's why be'ahava is a component of the bracha. Now, of course, this idea should relate to, you know, we had a machlekes hatanoim, Rebbe Akiva, Rebbe Yishmol, I think, about how does birchas kohanim work, right? Right. The Torah says, "V'samu eshemia b'nei Yisrael va'ani avarechem." Right. Where did we encounter this? We saw like a Rashi who's right on Lamed Chesom at Beis, va'ani avarechem. Right. So Rashi says that we're going ani avarechem a Yisrael to Rabbi Akiva. That the Ribbono Shel Olam gives the bracha to Klal Yisrael. That's what Rabbi Akiva said, and the Kohanim are merely a conduit to get the bracha from the Ribbono Shel Olam. So Klal Yisrael gets the bracha directly from the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's Rabbi Akiva's shita. And therefore, based on that shita, so the Gemara had to say that if you give a bracha, you yourself get a bracha, because the Kohanim are not receiving a bracha themselves from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Klal Yisrael is getting the bracha directly from the Ribbono Shel Olam. The other approach is that, no, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a bracha to the Kohanim for the Kohanim to hand over. Now, that's Machlokes Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yishmol. According to Rabbi Yishmol, that the bracha is given to the Kohanim and the Kohanim give it over, so to speak. The Kohanim are not merely a pipe. They're not merely something that brings the bracha from point A to point B. Rather, the Kohanim are somewhat involved. They receive and they give it. So if that's the case, I think it makes more sense that the ahava, the kavana, is more essential in the bracha. If you're just a pipe, if you're just a transmitter, so I don't know if the kavana is as essential. But if I hold like Rabbi Yishmael, then I'm not just a transmitter of the bracha, not just a pipe, rather I'm a recipient and then one who gives over, then I'd say kavana matters more. Does that make sense, ladies? Thumbs up. Okay, two thumbs up. Three. Okay, that's already almost drove. So that's good enough. Fine. So that is the first bracha, the bracha of Be'ahava. Now again, obviously this bracha is in the Gemara, but what we were saying last time is it could be that this bracha in the Gemara, so to speak, is something that was instituted by Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua. Maybe it wasn't a original bracha, it, so to speak, developed later. Ki akar kar'e mai mevarech. Ki akar kar'e means when the Kohen moves his legs to go toward the Duchen. No? Ki yokar kare, zakt rashi, ba'avoda, during the bracha of Ritzei, l'meisak, v'hu machzir panav kilape teva, and he turns his face to the teva, to the Aron Kodesh, so mai omar, what does he say? So he says, Yiratzal mafanecha shamalkeinu shetei brachaza shetzivi son levarachas amcha Yisrael lo yehebon michshol v'avon. Right? The bracha should not have any aveira in it. Now, what I don't understand about this Gemara is l'cha'ora, the Gemara is out of order. No? Because ki akar kare happens before the Kohen recites the bracha shekechambik du shasar shah aharon nevarach samu yisrael ba'ahava. So l'cha'ora, the seder hadavarim is out of order. And Davarza ani lo mevin. Abigail, is that a hand up?
But the only reason that we're even discussing the bracha is because we learned that Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua would say the bracha. So then,
I see what you're saying.
The only way to make it the segue is to say, okay, well, what was the bracha? And now that we're talking about what the Kohanim said,
okay, so you're explaining that we only mention Bracha 1 because it was instituted by Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, right? And then we go backwards and we talk about the other Bracha. So that's probably an excellent pshat, or I shouldn't say probably, that is an excellent pshat. The only thing is that when we learned last time, I forgot to mention the comment of the Me'iri. The Me'iri writes, that when Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua said that Bameh Erachta Yomim because Lo Nosasi Kapi below Bracha, he doesn't mean the Bracha of Levarich Hasama Yisrael Ba'ahava, rather he means this Bracha of Yehi Ratzon, etc. But if you look in the Me'iri, and I'm sure someone could pull it up on their computer, no? You pull up the Me'iri on the computer, so the Me'iri will tell you, that, right, the Me'iri is bothered by the same kasha. We had a different explanation from the Me'iri last time. The Me'iri said maybe the bracha is a hiddur mitzvah. But another line in the Me'iri says that maybe the teretz are kasha. What do you mean Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua is praising himself? They never duchen without a bracha. Of course. Of course you make a bracha. So the answer might be that I'm not talking about the standard bracha. I'm talking about this bracha of Yehi Ratzon. Now, it's Me'ira, yeah?
So then, maybe like that is in a way what the segue is, because like this is the bracha, but it's not like how everyone else says the bracha. It's the bracha with the intention of Ahava, which is then the Yehi Ratzon.
Uh-huh. I mean, that could be. I just still think it's strange because it's out of order. Right? The Yehi Ratzon chronologically comes before that bracha of the Ahava, no? I just find, yeah. I find it a little interesting. Again, I don't think it's like an earth-shaking question, but it is some sort of question. Okay. Now, it's also interesting that we call this a bracha. No? This is, right, usually a bracha is Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam. There's like a formula, no? Does this sound like a bracha? Yehi Ratzon Mufanecha Hashem Elokeinu Shetehei Beracha Shetziv Nisanu. Right? That doesn't meet standard bracha formulation. Nonetheless, right, according to the Me'iri at least, this is the bracha of Rebbe Elazar ben Shemua. Our Gemara does not use the word bracha over here. Our Gemara uses the word my amar. Doesn't say my mevarech, which makes a little more sense because I think it's not really a full-fledged bracha. Ms. West Coast, how are you?
Good, Baruch Hashem. Curious about thinking about it as a bracha in terms of thinking about brachot that don't have a p'ticha or a chatima because they're sandwiched between other brachot. So could this Yehi Ratzon, because it's in the middle of a voda, it's sandwiched between the other brachot. So it's getting almost, it's almost adopting the p'ticha from whatever, it's like chaining itself into the Shemona Esrei, and it's getting the chatima from the Techazana.
Maybe, in other words, that's a similar idea to what we mentioned last time from the Bahama'ar, that a bracha in middle of brachos You don't make a bracha on Safa Mel Brachos. You're saying that maybe, again, the brachos in Shmona Esrei, because they're sandwiched, they only have a chasima, they don't have a psicha, no? Right? I say, I don't start with a bracha, I only finish with a bracha. Right? Over here, I think it neither starts nor finishes with a bracha, so it's a little more interesting. It doesn't sound like a typical bracha. Weiter, v'chi mahadar ape mitzibura mai omar. What does the Kohen say when he finishes duchening, when he turns away from the tzibur? So ad beri Rav Chista l'Rav Ukva v'darash. Rav Chista kind of like whispers to Rav Ukva, and he darshins, ribono shel olam, asinu mashe gazarta aleinu, asei imanu mashe hivtachtanu, hashkifa mim unkachicha min hasha mayim. Right? Vigomer. So we did what we promised. We did what we're supposed to do. You should do what you promised to us, that you should be maskim to us, Rashi learns, va'ani avarechem, and you should give the bracha to Klal Yisrael. And they finish off with the pasuk hashkifa mima'on kachucha min hashamayim. Rashi writes on the pasuk in Vayera, Vayashkef al pnei Sidom va'amora, right? So Rashi writes over there that kol hashkafa shebetara l'ra'a. You could use this so well in the sermon, no? Any hashkafa is wrong. Kol hashkafa shebetara l'ra'a chutz mizu, because, right, Rashi writes that the zechus of gemilas chesed changes things from ra'a to tova. No, isn't that the lashon of Rashi? That all hashkafa. No, excuse me. Rashi on that pasuk in Devarim Chavav in Kisavo says kol hashkafa shebetayra is l'ra'a, with the exception of this one, because the matnas aniyim changes it from ra'a to tova. They're asking the Rabbona Shel Olam to look down and to give a bracha to transform what would ordinarily be ra'a, to transform it to tova. That is the bracha. Okay, that's the bracha. Vayter in the Gemara.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yes, I give you permission.
All right, okay. From when I were reading the Rashi on that, V'chi Mahadar, and it didn't really make sense with the timeline of what you were saying, who does what.
V'chi Mahadar means at the end of Duchening, right? That's what Rashi writes. Kishigomer Berchosav, Machzir Ponov Lutzad Hateva, you turn back to the Armin Kodesh, until the Shaliach Tzibor finishes Hamavarakas Amo Yisrael Bashalom. In other words, the Kohanim are not allowed to go back to their seats until the end of Chazar Shatz. Until Mevarech Samo Yisrael Bashalom.
Okay.
It seems like something is bothering you. I'm not sure.
Fur was not here, and I can't remember her question exactly, but I'll ask her.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine. Zok the Gemara weiter. Am Rav Chista, ena kohanim rasha'im lakuf kishrei etzbeosein ad sheyichazru pneihem min hatzibur. The kohanim are not allowed to bend their fingers back into normal fist position until they turn away from the tzibur. Now, again, this Gemara is written kind of backwards. The Gemara never tells me that the Kohanim have to spread their fingers. No? The Gemara says that they can't unspread their fingers until they turn away. Right? That's what Rashi writes. Sheposhtin etzbe'osein kishem mevarchem. they spread out their fingers when they give the bracha, and after they finish the bracha, they close their fist like normal people. Kishrei etzba himachoya shekayfefin uposhna behem. The kishrei etzba, basically the knuckles. Okay. Now, nowhere in Shas does it. This is all we know about the Kohanim's fingers. Right? I don't know if any of you are Trekkies. Right? Is anyone into Star Trek? Or this is like a generational thing that, like, people. Sarit, you're smiling.
I'm not into Star Trek, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
Right? So, Spock, right, makes Kohanim fingers. Right? That's what he does. It's a Trekkie thing. Nowhere in Shas do you see exactly how the Kohanim are supposed to position their fingers. All you know from this Gemara is that the Kohanim's fingers are straightened out when they give the bracha. When they give the bracha, their fingers are straight rather than being in fist position. That's all you know. I have at home a sefer called Nesias Kapayim Kehilchasa, which I bought the first time I was saying Shiurim on this perek. Like, you know, today you could have like a Kehilchasa sefer on any mitzvah. You know, Mavir Beno Lamolech Kehilchasa. All the appropriate halachos of how you are Mavir Beno Lamolech. You could have, well, that was a joke, but the point is, They have the sefer, and I think they have like 7 or 8 different versions of how the Kohanim should spread his fingers, or how the Kohanim spread their fingers when they duchen. In the Tosfos HaRosh by us, he gives the most standard approach. The most standard approach is that the Medrash writes, Meitzitzman HaCharakim, the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim says, that the Ribbono Shel Olam looks out like through the windows, that the Shechina is meitzitz mi ben cherkei etzbeosein shel kohanim. And hacharakin sounds like that there are 5 holes, so therefore the thumbs overlap with each other. You see? The thumbs overlap, and then I end up with 5. 1, 2, 3, 4. How do you get 5 again? 1, 2, 3.
Isn't one of them the space in between the thumbs?
There's a space between the 2 thumbs? No, I think the 2 thumbs are supposed to be touching, no? Memechavnim la'asos hei avirin. That's what Taisus HaRash writes. Bein shtei etzbaos v'shtei etzbaos, or bein etzba legodol, or bein godol legodol. Okay, right, no, you're right. It's between the 2 thumbs. So it's 1, 2, 3 between my 2 thumbs. 1, 2, 3 between the thumbs. 4, 5. Okay. I can draw a picture actually. Here. I'm gonna draw a picture. It's gonna be amazing. Okay. Watch. Okay. So the Kohanim have fingers.
Most people have
fingers. Ah. Okay, whatever. I just move you guys around here. Let me do my eraser. It's amazing. I learned how to use this thing. It's like great, no? So as you can tell from my tremendous artwork, this is one. This is space one between these fingers and, right? This is space two. Right? That's a thumb. Between the 2 thumbs is 3. This is between the thumb and here is 4. And between these 2 and these 2 is 5. Isn't that a beautiful picture? It's amazing. I think it looks perfect. But that's the 5... that's the 5 spots that the that's the 5 spots that the Taisa Rush refers to. Again, there are many other ways of doing it, but that I think that's the standard approach. Okay. Now if you look in the Tosis Harush, The Tosas Harash has this Gemara out of order. No? Did anyone take a look at the Tosas Harash? See, the way the Tosas Harash has it, first he has the entire continuation of our Gemara about Ein HaKorei Rashai Lekros, and then at the end he has Ein HaKohanim Rashai Lakov Kishrei Etzba Oseyan. For Tosas Harash, this Gemara about the fingers appears all the way at the end. Again, I'm not exactly sure how significant this is. I would have thought that this Gemara about the fingers should have been before the Gemara mentioned about the Kehanim when they finish duchening and they say Asinu Masha Gazarta Aleinu. I would have thought before that we have the idea of the fingers, but again, I don't know how significant it is. Next Gemara. Zakti Gemara. Amreb Zeram Rev Chista. Ein Hakore Rashai Likros Kohanim. Adshi Yichla Amein Mipi Hatzibur. Now, who is the Kore? What does Rashi say?
The Shaliach Tzibor.
Now, according to Rashi, the Shaliach Tzibor is the one who calls out Kohanim, and the Shaliach Tzibor is not allowed to call out Kohanim until the Tzibor finishes the Amen of Modim. That's where Rashi learns the Gemara. The Tosas Harash, we already saw this idea in the Taisus and Brachas on Daf Lamed Daled, and it seems to be a machlokus between the Mechaber and the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch, because the word Shaliach Tzibor is added in parentheses, which sounds like it's a Ramah's word. The Mechaber sounds like there's just a Korei. That means anyone, someone else from the community, calls out Kohanim. According to Rashi, the one who calls out Kohanim is the Shaliach Tzibor himself. Right, Taisus in Brachas and Daf Lamed Daled was discussing whether there's like a concern that you would lose your attention and potential hefsek. But apparently for Rashi, saying Kohanim, the Chazan saying Kohanim, is not a hefsek at all. And therefore, what we call the Chazan, which is the Shaliach Tzibor, he calls out Kohanim. We saw this already, no? We had a discussion what the word Chazan means. Because Chazan and Shas might mean Shamish, but according to Rashi, it means the Shaliach Tzibor. Now, Tosfos, there in Brachas on Lamed Daled, and the Tosas Harash over here quotes from the Rabbeinu Tam that the Shaliach Tzibor is not allowed to be mafsik his tefillah to say Kohanim. Rather, there is a separate korei, a separate person who calls out Kohanim, according to the Rabbeinu Tam. You see from here, the Sefer Toras HaKena'os points out on our daf that you see from the Rabbeinu Tam that hefsik can even be a single word. It's not exactly clear in halacha what is a hefsek, no? Sometimes, for example, you know, there's a discussion in the poskim about do women, when they bench licht on yontiv, do they make a shehechiyanu? Should ask your mothers, or if you yourselves bench licht, do you make a shehechiyanu when you bench licht? If you're Lubavitch, you probably bench licht, right? Mm-hmm. Do you make a shehechiyanu when you bench licht on yontiv? So many people do. Yep. That's standard practice. You make a shehechiyanu.
Well, I'm not Chabad, but...
What?
I'm not Chabad. There's like a whole...
There's a whole bunch of Jews...
history of why...
Right, so lighting candles before you're married is not only a Chabad practice, it was a practice that was relatively standard in Lithuanian communities. Some Chabad happens to be like a Lithuanian type of Hasidus. Somehow Chabad, because the Rebbe made like a whole campaign about Hadlakas Neris, it became associated with Chabad, that single women light candles. Okay, Do you make a shechiyano in yantiv? So standard practice, you make a shechiyano. So the achrayim are bothered by akasha. One second, you make a shechiyano at yantiv when you light candles, and then they're going to make kiddush, and the person who makes kiddush is going to say shechiyano again. If you answer amen, aren't you being mafsik? Because you already said your shechiyano, and how can you say amen to a bracha that you're already yotzei? And if you say amen, maybe that's a hefsik, and as a hefsik, it's like talking between the borei pri hagafen and drinking the wine, and then maybe you have to make your own borei pri hagafen before you drink the wine. Deep breath. No? For this reason, Reb Yaakov Emden says that you should never make a shehechiyanu on yantiv when you light candles. Don't do it. That's what Reb Yaakov Emden says. Many disagree with Reb Yaakov Emden, and there are different reasons why they disagree. Some say, come on, hefsik. Hefsik doesn't mean that you say a word. Hefsik means you lose your train of thought. Right? The lashon of the Bali HaTaisis throughout Parakeitz on Mevarchim is whatever I call a hefsik, they call hesach hada'as. If that's the case, one word is not a problem. So many disagree with Yaakov Emden because one word is not a problem. Nice idea. Problem is, it's against this Rabbeinu Tam. Right, the Torah's Hakana'os is pointing out from this Rabbeinu Tam that Rabbeinu Tam holds that even a single word is considered a hefsik. So what's the practice of saying a shechiyano when you bench candles, when you bench licht on yontiv, and then answering amen again? So it could be that it's not a hefsik. Because if I affirm a bracha that someone else is legitimately saying, that's not a hefsek. If I say something that's illegitimate, if I'm a shaliach tzibur, and I say just a single word in middle mai shmeina esrei, that's an illegitimate word, hefsek. But in the case of answering the shehechiyanu, that's not an illegitimate word, because the shehechiyanu that the person who makes kiddush is saying is a authentic, bona fide, genuine shechiyanu that works for all the other people around the table. So I'm saying amen. Amen is ha'aman astavarim. I'm affirming the bracha. I'm affirming that the shechiyanu works. Doesn't work for me. It works for yenam. I don't need the shechiyanu. I already made it. But I can affirm a bracha that's working for somebody else. Okay. But basically, let's just take a deep breath. Rashi learns the Gemara that the Koreh does not call Kohanim until the Tzibur finishes Amen, until the Tzibur finishes the Amen after the Bracha of Modim, after Atov Shimcha Lachana Elohodos. When they say Amen, they finish Amen, then you scream out Kohanim. Next, Ve'en HaKohanim Rasha'in Lahaschel Bebracha Dibur Mipi Hakorei. According to Rashi, what this means is that the Kohanim cannot begin the bracha until the Kohen finishes the word. Until the Shaliach Tzibur finishes the word Kohanim. They cannot begin the bracha until the Koreh finishes. Finishes saying the word Kohanim. Ve'ein hatzibar rashoin la'anos amen ad she'tichle bracha mipia Kohanim. And the tzibor cannot answer amen until the Kohanim finish the bracha. And the Kohanim do not begin the next bracha until the Tzibur finishes Amen, comma. And then Then Reb Zera says, "Name Reb Kusa, the Kohanim cannot turn away from the Tzibor until the Shaliach Tzibor begins Sim Shalom, and they cannot leave until he finishes Sim Shalom." So these are the dinim in the Gemara. According to Rashi, the word kore in the Gemara means Shaliach Tzibor. The difficulty with Rashi is that the Gemara, five lines after, uses the word Shaliach Tzibor. No? Again, let's look at the Gemara carefully. Rav Chisa says, Rav Zera quotes Rav Chisa that the Kore can't call Kohanim, etc. Rashi says the Kore is the Shaliach Tzibor. Blah, blah, blah. Keep on reading. Right? We see the word Kore in the next sentence. But the sentence after says Shaliach Tzibor. Ad sheyaschu Shaliach Tzibor Sim Shalom. No? You get an impression from the Gemara, just from the switching of the Lashon between Kore and Shaliach Tzibor, that Rabbeinu Tam is correct, and the person who calls out Kohanim is not the Shaliach Tzibor. So this is the Gemara as understood by Rashi. Now, Rashi over here goes through the Seder of Duchening. Tysus on Omer Aleph also gives us the Seder of Duchening. You get the impression from Tosus that he didn't have this Rashi, because I don't think Tosus would quote a Rashi verbatim if he had the Rashi. But let's just read the Seder of Duchening the way Rashi puts it together. Again, I don't know if I'll be able to finish it all tonight, but we'll do the best we can. Yesh lomod mikan. Seder Nesias Kapayim. You see it, it's in the middle of the Rashi, La'akar Raglehem. So Rashi writes that you could learn from here the order of Duchening. Seder Nesias Kapayim Kahu. Oker Raglav Ba'avoda Mimekomo, Uba Lefnei HaTeva. During Avoda, during Mitzeh, you leave your place and you come to the Teva. You go in front of the Aron Kodesh. What's the problem with Rashi? What did Rashi skip?
You reckon?
He'll get there in a second.
He skipped washing the
Tehillas Yadayim and removing the shoes. Right? Rashi does not mention washing the Tehillas Yadayim and removing the shoes. You get the impression that these things for Rashi are not, to quote people in Boston, pot and parcel of the Duchening. Those are preambles. They are not part of the mitzvah of Duchening. The mitzvah of Duchening begins when the Kohanim move, washing the hands, even if you hold that washing the hands has to be done right before Duchening, but it's not part of the Duchening process. Okay. So again, so according to Rashi, the Seder of Duchening is, you are okay ragla ba'avoda ubalufnei hateva, and you mispalel, you davin, ye rotsun shetei bracha, etc. kidula el. Like we said earlier. Umarich ba achatichla amen shohoda'a mipi tzibor. You have to say it slowly. Yehi rotsun shetei. You have to say it slowly because you should finish at the time that the tzibor is saying amen. In other words, that the amen of the tzibor is ki'ilu going on the yihi ratzon that the kohanim are saying. Right? You say it slowly in order that the bracha is finished when the tzibor says amen. So far, so good. Then shaliach tzibor kore kohanim im shnayim heim. Vim yachad hu eno kore. Vuhu machzir panu me'elav kedabai yedam el. Right? If there are two Kohanim, so then the Shaliach Tzibor, according to Rashi, calls out Kohanim. If there's only one Kohen, you don't call anything out, rather you just turn around. You saw that Tosfos in Menachos writes, and this is the practice of the Ramah, that if there's only one Kohen, the Shaliach Tzibor should say, Elokeinu Elokei Hashem Baruch Hu Baruch Hashem Shalesh, in an undertone, and then say the word Kohanim out loud, right, etc. But okay, so Zayin, Rashi holds that if there's only one Kohen, so the Kohen just turns around to Duchen. Ukishekola dibor mipi kore, when the kore finishes saying Kohanim, mivarech asher kedshanu, they say asher kedshanu, va'achar kach maschilin bibracha. So they say asher kedshan b'dushas osha aharon, levarech es amo yisrael ba'ahava, and then they begin the bracha, ukishekola amen achar mipi tzibor hei machzirin p'neya v'kofen kishrehem im rotzim. Okay, what's missing from Rashi that we are used to in our duchenings? Let's read it slowly. According to Rashi, what happens when the Kohanim finish the word ba'ahava? What's the next thing that's said?
Amen.
I didn't hear?
Amen.
Well, the tzibur says amen, and right after the tzibur says amen, what comes next? So, Amkidoshecha ka'amor, we do say that only, that's going to be hard to explain, the Amkidoshecha ka'amor. Let's bracket that one. We'll have to talk about that in a different thing. But what does the Shaliyah tzibur usually do? He says,
He calls before.
He calls like before. Yivarechecha. Then the Kohanim respond, Yivarechecha. Right? That's what we call makri. It's the same idea as like by Tekiah Shofar. Right? The rabbi or someone says, Tekiah. Over here they say, Yivarechecha. Right? And then the Kohanim respond. Rashi does not have that, ladies. Steht nicht in Rashi that there is any makri. Right? The Amkidoshecha ka'amor is also omitted from Rashi. We'll have to, I don't know if that's found actually in any Rishon over here. I have to look into when and where that began. But Rashi writes, when the Kore finishes the word Kohanim, then the Kohanim make the bracha shekidshanu, va'achar kach, and right after their bracha, maschilim bebracha, afterwards, they begin their bracha. Ukishakala amen acharon. Apparently, the tzibor will say amen three times. After v'yishmerecha, after v'chunecha, and after shalom, the tzibor says amen. And after the last amen, then the kohanim turn away. Rashi never has the idea of a makri. The idea that you call out every sound of duchening is not found in Rashi. We won't be able to do this tonight, but the Ran has a totally different take on how duchening works. The Ran has a makri, Rashi doesn't. God willing, next time we learn, we'll talk about it. One other diuk in Rashi, right? Rashi says, how do they go about putting their fingers down? Rashi writes, im rotzim. No? If they want to. There is no obligation to fist up. There's no obligation to put your fingers in normal finger position. If you want to, you do it. As opposed to all the other dinim in duchening, the Kohen has to turn around. Right? The Kohen cannot continue looking at the tzibur. The Kohen has to turn around to the Aron Kodesh. Right? The Kohen, right, is not allowed to leave right after Duchening. He has to stay until, right, the end of Sim Shalom or whatever it is. For some reason, this one halacha of the fingers, Rashi says, Im Rotzim. If they want it. Then Rashi says, the Shaliyat Tzibor says, Sim Shalom, the Kohanim daven their Ribona Shalom, and they continue their Marechba, Achetich Labrachim Pi Shaliyat Tzibor, then Okrin Raglehem, Vahochem Lahem. And then they go away, and they leave. So this is Duchening according to Rashi. The main Nakuda is that, what's it called? The main nakuda is that there is no makri. That I think is the main point. Okay, ladies. Bli Neder on Monday night, I want you to look at... did anyone have a chance to do this Tosis Ad Sheyichla Amen? So for Monday night, we're going to spend time in this Tosis. I'll give you the Marimukim, and the Abigail's like shaking her head, which probably meant that I did it, but obviously I didn't do it well enough if you're asking about it again. Right? Is that what you were thinking? Baruch Hashem. Okay, so we'll do that, God willing, on Monday night, and... we should have a... enjoy Yom HaTzmaut. Right? Grill yourself. I don't know. Enjoy something. Have fun. Okay, Chevra. Have a good evening. Thank you for coming to learn. Kol
tov.
Thank you.
Shkaya.
Thank you.
Shkaya, thank you for coming.